5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Thanks for being with us here on this edition of The Whole Show. We're powered by PDC Energy. It was a scary night last night for a lot of people. How about Charlie Morton playing with the broken leg, fractured fibula in game one of the World Series, and they get the big win, absolutely dominate the Astros. But crazy, man. Braves catcher noticed his starter, Charlie Morton, was walking funny. He's like, what's going on with that guy? Why are you walking like that, man? And he was, you know, Morton said, man, that got me good. Morton had retired back-to-back hitters, took a 102-mile-per-hour one-hopper off the bat of Jarrell and reacted the way pitchers normally do. He was kind of like, what the hell? That kind of hurt. He's in temporary pain for a little bit, and then he kind of just played through it. He underwent an initial x-ray that, according to the Braves, didn't reveal a break. He threw some baseballs against a net, surmised that the pain was tolerable when he wasn't running, came back out for the bottom of the third. Six pitches later, Morton's season ended. So he was out there pitching. It's crazy, man. Then a sharp curveball. Altuve located perfectly at the bottom of that strike zone. Noticeably, Morton was getting more and more pain as this game went on. You could kind of see it. He started grimacing more and more after the delivery, and then he finally left. Got another quick visit by the Braves athletic trainer and underwent another x-ray that then revealed a fractured right fibula. So, ouch, but played through it. Those stories are always memorable. And now we'll see if Atlanta can finish the job, man. 1-0 against the Astros. It seems like the entire country outside of Houston is rooting for Atlanta. So, hey, so far so good. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Eastside Chris, I don't think Vaughn should play this weekend. Keep him healthy as we might need trade material next week. I don't know that they're going to trade him. I just don't see the value. I don't see that they're going to get a lot. I mean, why do you trade a guy like that right now? Is it because you think you can, you know, get something in return that can help you right now? Because you're not trading away a contract, because he's done at the end of the year. And if you were that, you know, pressed for money, I guess, but I don't think that's the situation. I see them staying the course, at least with Vaughn. Good news for the Broncos, though. Sounds like Jerry Judy's going to go. That'll be big. James Palmer tweeting out that Judy should be playing on Sunday. Boy, if you can get some weapons back for Denver, is that enough to change things? He can take the top off of a defense unlike anybody that they have on the roster right now. You know, Sutton's not doing that. Patrick's not doing that. So if you get Judy in, commit to the damn run. And then Judy can maybe open some things up. Then away we go. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our Power to Play Sports poll question. Are you in or out on CSU head football coach Steve Addazio? And the reason I ask this is obviously we have the special teams snafu that happened on Friday night. But then you have... Today, you see that, you know, guys, beat writers are tweeting out that, hey, CSU shut down practice yesterday, I suppose. They're not allowing media members to stop in, to check it out, get quotes. Now, clearly, there is an issue. You can go back to the Coloradoan when they were writing their story on Steve Addazio, Mike Bobo, the culture around CSU. On everything, you know, trying to talk about some racist statements that were made from perhaps from Coach Bobo, that Addazio was intimidating players like that. All that stuff was out in the paper. And we talked about, you know, oh, did Addazio tell players that they were going to lose their job if they got COVID? I mean, if you're out, I mean, why is that bad? If you're not there at practice to earn your position, then, I mean, So if you're sick with the flu or whatever, and you miss practice and some other guy starts playing better, then he earns the spot. Then, I don't blame him. So anyway, all that stuff was going on. So clearly in Steve Adazio's first season, there was already a tear in the relationship between him and his football program compared to and the Colorado. Miles Blumhardt and, yes, Kevin Lytle too. Kevin's always been a friend of the station, and I've always thought Kevin did a really good job of walking that line of being critical but also being fair with CSU. Was this tweet fair? And I will talk to Kevin about this tomorrow. What do you call fair in the media world? I think this tweet maybe, I have no inside scoop on this, but I believe that this tweet irritated some people. This one I'm looking for right here. Kevin had tweeted it out. Steve Adazio, this was a couple days ago. Steve Adazio clearly realized or was told pointing fingers at players for end-of-game situation was not great and says he takes full blame. Opens Monday presser saying that there needed to be more sideline control. Won't go into much detail, but says there was no call to rush the field goal unit. And here's my take. You heard me talk about this. These guys are Division I FBS football players. They should know. With 11 seconds and a first down, the clock stopped. They should know that. So I more or less look at it and say, I think that Steve Adazio does need a special teams coach. If anything else, just to shut us all up and make it no more of a distraction. But the thing of it is now when he does, if he does hire somebody right now, as soon as something bad happens or if good happens, they're going to go, oh, wow, see, that's what happened. There you go. If Ryan Stonehouse punts it deep, which he does all the time, and it puts a team behind their five-yard line, then you're going to say, oh, wow, see, having a new special teams coach. So I can kind of see right now why it's just like, yeah, I'm not going to mess with it. That's the way he's always done it. I'm not saying it's right. That all being said, you should know what the game plan is. I mean, you're a Division I football player. You should not be running onto the field. How many football games do you watch, NFL, college, where the head coach, I don't care how many coordinators he has, he's the guy that goes, yeah, let's kick a field goal. And then special teams guy goes, all right, guys, field goal unit, let's go. Or let's go for it. Stay out there, guys. So unless you see Steve Adazio give you a signal to get out there, I'm guessing you shouldn't do it. Now, chaos, 11 seconds, there's not a lot of time to think. But there was time to think. The clock stopped. First down. Until the ball is placed. Until the ball is set. So was that the tweet? Is our friend Kevin Lytle public enemy number one? I don't know. But let me just say this. You want CSU to become a great program. You want it to become a program that Colorado cares about. You have to let the media in. You have to give them more access. I mean, full disclosure, we normally carried on this station CSU football, their media day. I think we did that for 3 years. And we were kind of told, hey, you know, that should be the job of the flagship radio station. All right, cool. They didn't do it, by the way. We offered to do it, and no, it wasn't. Just, I guess, zero coverage is better on that side of it. That's fine, whatever. But I'm just going to say this. More media is a good thing. If they're talking about you, they're talking about you. If we stop, that ain't good. What did Mark Johnson just tell me right before we started our segment about the Buffs? What did he just say? He said, tonight's an exhibition basketball game. Let's talk about that. Let's not even talk about it. Again, tongue-in-cheek for Mark. Mark gets it. But when we're not talking about your program, that's bad. What I like about this, though, there's 18 people that commented on Kevin's tweet, just going back and forth on this thing. This is creating this friction between the media and Adazio. What does it make you want to do? It makes me want to read more of Kevin's articles. And it makes me want to see what the reaction is to CSU. Hell, Steve Adazio snapped at Kevin because he took a question a couple weeks after the Vanderbilt game. Kevin asked a question that was not... The question wasn't, hey, are you afraid of losing the locker room? The question was, hey, are you worried the guys are going to hang their heads a little bit after not bearing any of that fruit that you're talking about when you're, you know, 0-2. And Addazio got very upset and said, we are not worried about losing this locker room. We'll go down there with five guys or whatever the hell it was. That was such a rant that it got freaking Van Pelt. He aired it on ESPN. That response. He aired it, and it made him want to pick CSU to beat Toledo, and he did, and they won. So it was a question that Steve Addazio was annoyed by, right? He didn't like it. But it was on ESPN. Suddenly, I mean, nobody throughout the country cares about CSU. We do here in Colorado, but nobody outside of this state really cares about the Rams. That kind of stuff gets you on the map. So I shot Kevin a text. I said, dude, you might be the bad guy. Own it. Run with it. That's your role in all this. And like I said, I want to be fair to both sides. I am, to answer the Power to Play Sports poll question, I am in on Steve Addazio. I'm in. I do think he needs to figure out the special team situation. I asked Scott, my friend, Scott Patchen, great guy, probably second best player on this team, right behind Bride. And I said, hey, should he just hire a special teams coach? Scott said, hey, no, he doesn't need to hire a special teams coach. We got to figure out. Okay. All right. You're going to have some more pressure on you anytime the special teams unit has an issue then. And we all know there are going to be issues on special teams. Whether you have the greatest special teams coach in the history of the world or not, there's going to be a blocked punt. There's going to be a return for a touchdown. There's going to be, you know, mishaps as far as maybe even running out the clock. That was a weird deal. That was rare. But from now on, at least this season, anytime there's a snag in special teams, it's going to be about Steve Addazio and the fact that you need to hire a special teams coach and what are you doing. So at some point, you wonder if he's just going to do it to get everybody off his back. Do I agree with CSU shutting out the media this week? They're focused on Boise State. Maybe they want to drown out the noise. They're tired of fielding the questions. They don't want to talk to the media this week. Maybe it was a player decision. I know there's a lot of frustration going on over there at Colorado State. Mike Brohard brought it up yesterday, and he works for CSURams.com. He brought it up yesterday and said, you know, to be honest, players are kind of irritated that some of the writers and the rhetoric out there is that Steve Addazio is pointing the finger at someone in particular as far as the team. I can see why the players are irritated, because I didn't feel... I heard... I don't know if we have that clip anymore. Producer, you're just looking at me. The Steve Addazio clip from the other day. Maybe not. He just said... He basically went on and said, hey, somebody ran out of the field. I didn't tell him to. They ran out on the field. That's the truth of it. So I'm not sure why that's necessarily this bad thing. And, oh, Addazio's throwing everybody under the bus. I saw Addazio on the sidelines. He was saying, who the hell sent him out? Who sent him out? Great work, Michael. Here it is. Here's Steve Addazio after the game on Friday night.
So all we wanted to do was spike the ball, but we had to have the fast field goal team ready, because if the ball had a first down and didn't have a chance to get up and spike the ball, we had to have fast field goal ready. So we had fast field goal ready down by where the ball was, and the guys took off onto the field, the fast field goal team. You know, they weren't sent, but they went, and it created that confusion at the end, which is just a shame. But we really got set up, and then it wasn't like we weren't set up to kick the field goal. So we were set up to kick the field goal, and we just didn't strike it. But that's what happened at the end there. No one sent them in, but they took off on the field. You know, we work on that play but situationally, but that wasn't the situation for it. It could have been. That's why we had it ready, but it wasn't the situation. We could have spiked it and then gone on the field and kicked it without as much chaos.
I didn't hear it. I didn't hear that as much as far as, oh, he's pointing the finger. He's telling you what happened.
I'm hearing a lot of we in that.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it.
Yeah, he's not He says they ran on the field, but he says we setting up. Right. I don't hear a lot of finger pointing.
No, I didn't hear it either.
Maybe the players need to be more vocal. I mean, they have Twitter.
It's a lot to put on. And I get it. I'm saying this. I don't think they're... It's a pet peeve of mine when we call them kids. I've gotten caught in that too, but they're grown men. I was their age once too, you know, and I was not considered a kid. I had to make rent. And I was not considered a kid when I moved out of my mom and dad's house when I was 18. I moved up here. Sorry. If you can go serve your country, if you can drink 21, if you can play the lottery, then yeah, you're not a kid. Sorry. So I do have a problem with, you know, calling them that, but do you want that kind of noise coming at your players? Do you want your players having to get out and defend themselves? I don't know. Scott comes on here, Scott Patchen, and he's pretty vocal. I mean, he was vocal. He's clearly frustrated. He doesn't bash anybody, and he never has. But I don't know if I'd go that route. And I think that's part of why, to be honest, that Steve Adazio said, I'm shutting it down this week. I don't want my players talking. I don't want them saying anything that they shouldn't say. I don't want, you know, that to continue to happen. I don't want this to be taken out of context. So this isn't unheard of. I've seen it before. And again, the quotes are the big ones. The quotes are the big ones the guys want, and not being able to get that, the reporters. I get where they're coming from. If it's an ongoing thing, then yeah, I think... a big meeting needs to be had, and you need to figure this out because you can't shut the media out. You can't do it. The media, I've talked about this before, and I know players in the pro level, they have their Twitters and they can do whatever they want, but I'm sorry, and you guys know this if you're listening to the show. The media builds this stuff up. Good or bad, we build it up. It's entertaining. It brings the ratings. That's what it's about.
When you shut the media out, then the media makes you the enemy. The media will never self-reflect.
Yes.
Whether the media is wrong or right, and sometimes we can be wrong, but the media as a whole is never going to self-reflect.
Right. 23 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. Before we do that, I do want to tell you about Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They're now Greeley's hometown orthopedic group. They have their locations all over northern Colorado, but now in Greeley, they're open for all appointments beginning at 8 o'clock, and they have on-call physicians that are available for same-day appointments for non-surgical visits. That is Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. 23 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we're also going to talk to Jesse Kurtz, but let's talk about, you know, more on the Nuggets side of it. And who are they without Nikola Jokic? We'll be right back.
If you want Nuggets insight, then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
One of our great sponsors is Norfolk Iron and Metal. And listen, we all know there's no secret that the hiring market is incredibly competitive right now. Norfolk Iron and Metal, like many others, are looking for members to join their team. Visit their website, norfolkiron.com, or call their Greeley location at 970-352-6722. Find why your next job should be at Norfolk Iron and Metal. Let's read some text, shall we? You want to read some text? Eastside Chris talking about CSU. In reality, don't get your team in a position for that to happen. Kick butt early. I know that sounds like a cop-out. Well, yeah, I mean... team was struggling against Utah State. It took kind of a crazy comeback to get back in this game. Dixon, Angel, rule number one, Brady is never wrong. That's actually a very true statement there, Dixon. Thank you. Rule number two, see rule number one and commit it to your memory. What are you I'm guessing you're saying I'm wrong about something. What was I wrong about? Or are you actually being sincere, Dixon? Holyoke chiming in about the Nuggets. Porter is shook. He needs counseling. Do the Nuggets offer an NFL version of the Wonderlic test? because I'm confident that he wouldn't pass. However, his mental aptitude results may be greater than his shooting percentage. Upside should not equal paychecks. Yes, there is upside with him, but right now he's looking the part. He has a basketball-rich family, so hopefully that culture can get him to pull through. You know what? You're not far off. I don't know about as much about like the Wonderlic test and stuff and his intelligence, but he it took him a while. I mean, you saw Bones Highland the other night against Cleveland, and initially he's out there, and he looks like he's already kind of knows how the flow of the defense works. He kind of knows how to go off those screens and pull up for an open shot. Porter does a lot of just waiting around. You know, defensively, last year, he took him a long time to figure it out. Steve Targaryen. The Nuggets are a joke without Joker. Playoffs with him, 20 wins without. Based on what we've seen so far, it's hard to disagree. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I said this last year when we were talking about Joker being MVP. Without Joker, this team is not in the playoffs. They're lucky if they win. They're back where they used to be, back in the in the 90s, late 90s. So you're not wrong there. With Porter, that's the thing though. That's the idea was that Porter comes in and he's the third guy. He's part of this big three. Right now, he's just a guy. There's nothing special through four games with MPJ. How do you get him to force the issue? I mean, I'm looking around, watching him, and he's just standing around, making sure his feet are behind that three-point line and just ready to fire. But they're not going to let him open. He's too lethal behind the three-point line. He's going to have to work to get open. And I don't know if that's part of the game plan or he's not part of the game plan. You know, it's, hey, clear out, let Aaron Gordon drive, let Will Barton drive, let Monte Morris try to take somebody off the dribble at the free throw line extended, which it was nice to see him get his shot going. But what is the plan? Can Porter clear out? He needs to drive. I think Bama Bear texted us earlier. He needs to drive to the lane. He needs to get to the lane. Try to create. Dixon says, Angel said the media will never admit they're wrong. I was simply trying to help Angel keep his job. Have I been wrong before? Yes, every Thursday night. It seems like I've been wrong a lot this year when it comes to the picks. I don't know if the reporters will admit that they're wrong. Maybe. Maybe not. These guys are pretty good guys up here locally. 32 minutes after the hour, let's jump out of here. We're going to talk a little Mountain West football. What a wild weekend it was. Jesse Kurtz of the Mountain West Network joining us next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast. And you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Minutes after the hour, joining me now on our First Advantage hotline is Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And Jesse, another really interesting weekend for the conference, going back and forth. Man, going back, let's start here with that CSU Utah State finish, Jesse. That's been a lot of our conversation, and it's still Wednesday. We're still talking about it, man.
Yeah, I can imagine so. I've seen on Twitter, if that's an engage on what is interesting and what has piqued the interest of fans in Northern Colorado, I could see why that might be an area of topic.
Yeah, well, and we got this today, yesterday, CSU football kind of saying, hey, we're shutting out the media for the week. And again, I'm not one of those sky is falling guys. I think that it's more or less, hey, let's get away from the noise. Let's get ready for a big Boise State game. I suppose if it's a trend, you start worrying about it. But that's kind of the issue. Yeah, you got people going back and forth about that side of it. So I don't know what that means ultimately, but I know the Rams got a big one coming up this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, I can see both sides with that. I mean, having lived on both sides, being on the media, working in television for 15 years, and now radio. Of course, you want access. That's how you do your job. A coach, his one job is to win football games, and a side product of that, obviously, is growing young men into great football players and making them great men. If he thinks, being Steve Adazio, if he thinks that in somehow, some way that would inhibit him getting his guys ready for a football game, then you got to do what you got to do, because your number one goal is to go out there and win. Is it frustrating? I'm sure it is. So it's one of those, the tug of war that goes on, the necessary tug of war, but at the end of the day, I think everyone up there knows that Colorado State football needs media coverage. Media coverage needs Colorado State football. So you hope that there's some playing nice there and everyone can live in this world peacefully once again. But, yeah, there is a big game. There's no question about it coming up for Colorado State. You know, Boise State's been a thorn in the Rams' side since they came into this league. Boise State clearly at this point, at least through the sample of seven games, is not the team and the program that we have seen. So maybe they are ripe right now for Colorado State to take a rip at it. But I'm looking forward to it because both teams desperately need this game. And, what better way to figure it all out than to throw them out on the football field and see who's got it on Saturday.
Jesse, what did you make of the way that game finished? You know, obviously, the big talk is Steve Adazio. He's also the special teams guy. I more or less said this because I think I'm going against the grain a little bit. I feel like the players shouldn't. I feel like they should know not to run on the field unless the head coach gives that signal. I mean, how many times, Jesse, you've seen so much football, the head coach is always the guy who says, all right, kick the field goal. All right, we're going to go for it, whatever. So I do think that there needs to be somebody out there, a special teams coach. But on that note, I thought it was strange that they went ahead and, you know, some of the players ran out without being told.
I think this is one of those instances, to your point, that there's blame everywhere and no one gets 100% of the blame. Because, sure, coaches obviously look at things from a 30,000-foot level and want to make sure that you're, keeping organized, because it's chaos on a football field. If you've played sports at any level or any sport, in the chaos of a game, especially late in a game where a game's on the line, you lose your mind somewhat and you need someone to reel you in. So is there, coaches, should they have their finger on it and make sure that the players are staying in the lane and staying where they need to be to put yourself in a chance to win the game? Sure. But to your point, players certainly have played plenty of football, and from what I understand, that has been practiced many, many times. So there's equal blame. It's unfortunate for Colorado State that it got so chaotic there and didn't work out for them. But this is how you learn. Some of those hard lessons are the best learning lessons, and I'm sure going forward, the coaching staff and the players will be very buttoned up, and hopefully that when things do get chaotic late in the game again, that they don't suffer the same fate.
Yeah, they'll have to. Hey, listen, if they can go beat Boise State, they've never done it before. If they can beat Boise State on Saturday, I mean, that might cure just a little bit of everything on that side of it. What do you think the chances are? I mean, this is a weird year for Boise State. The record doesn't show. The record's tough, but they have had a crazy schedule. But what are your thoughts on that one?
So you're right. This is not as great of a Boise State team as we've seen in the past. I got to see him in person a couple of weeks ago. Air Force went up there and knocked off Boise State. Here, in my opinion, is where Boise State is falling short of the very high bar that they have set over the last couple of decades. It comes down to offensive line, and it's protecting Hank Bachmeier, who gets hit a bunch. And he's not able to buy enough time to use the likes of Khalil Shakir, who is as good of a wide receiver as you're going to find in college football. When you don't have time, you can't find the guy, or he can't finish his routes, one. And two, it's compromised their ability to run the football. Now, George Halani has been hurt. Habibi Likio has been hurt. And both of those guys were out when Air Force played them, and I saw them, and they were a different team. And Andrew Van Buren was the only running back, healthy running back, that they really had. And he's more of a short yardage north and south guy. He's not going to make you miss and get out in the open field and make a big play like Habibi Leikio and also George Halandi can be. So they've been banged up at some key positions, but I really think it comes down to they just don't have a stellar offensive line, and that has compromised them offensively. Are they still very good defensively? Yes, and that's kept them in games. But the offense hasn't been able to get over that hump, and that's where they have had their biggest problems. And I do expect that front seven for Colorado State, which you and I have talked about many times on this program, they're as good as anyone outside of San Diego State, in my opinion, in the front seven. So they could feast here if Boise State hasn't used the bye week to kind of shore up some of those problems.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see. You're right, though, that that defensive line, just they're monsters. They buckled down in that second half, and they really had Utah State searching for answers, and unfortunately just couldn't pull it off at the end. Another interesting game that was on Saturday was, Air Force San Diego State. San Diego State showed us ultimately why they're a top 25 team, but man, That was kind of a back and forth game, especially in that second half. But San Diego State, I mean, what more can you say? That's a tough football team, but so is Air Force.
Well, this comes down to the San Diego State defense being as elite can get. Their front seven is unbelievably good. It's probably the fastest defense sideline to sideline I've seen in 10 years in the Mountain West. Air Force really couldn't get to the edge, and San Diego State was able to, you know, make sure that no one got good chunk yardage between the tackles, where Air Force has gashed just about everybody this season, and to hold Air Force well under, you know, 150 plus yards under their season average speaks to how good that San Diego State defense. And then if you're Air Force, you spot San Diego State a 20-point lead. That's a tough place to come out of against anyone, but especially against an elite defense. But credit to the Falcons, because they did climb out. In fact, there were a couple times that you could say, if this play is made, Air Force might win. You look in the first half, Micah Davis, who has been as good of an offensive weapon as Air Force has had all season, drops a surefire touchdown pass that would have went, I believe, 82 yards. Mm. Could have changed the complexity of the first half. And then in the second half, backup quarterback Warren Bryan comes in, nearly hits a long pass to Brandon Lewis, a San Diego native who got free beyond the secondary for the Aztecs. If that's 6 inches shorter, Brandon Lewis probably goes the distance and is 21-20 in favor of the Falcons. So Air Force had its chances. A couple of costly turnovers led to 6 points for San Diego State, and that ended up being the difference.
We're talking to Jesse Kurtz, lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. This weekend, as we talked about, there's some big ones. CSU, Boise State, that's a big one. But how about Fresno State and San Diego State? That's going to be the late game, I believe, on Saturday.
Yeah, and this is for a second straight week. San Diego State is involved in, you know, one of the elite games in the country. Last week it was Air Force San Diego State combined record of 12-1, which is the best win percentage for, you know, two opponents playing each other in the country. This week they get Fresno State combined record of 13-2. That's the third best FBS game of the weekend, behind Michigan State, who are a combined 14-0. And SMU Houston are 13-1. So San Diego State continues to play these big games. Winner probably gets in that driver's seat, not probably, is in the driver's seat for a shot to get into the Mountain West Championship game. San Diego State will have beaten two of the top teams in back-to-back weeks, being Air Force and Fresno State. But then you look at Fresno State, they will have beaten two of the top two teams in Nevada and San Diego State. And those two teams being in their division, if you've got those two wins in your pocket with a chance to run the table the rest of the way, Fresno State's in a really good spot. So division supremacy on the line, the old oil cans on the line. These two longtime rivals have had some fierce battles. So this will be one of the best games in the country. There's no question about it.
Jesse, and last one for you. We're running up against a break. UNLV 0-7, but my goodness, they keep getting close. Every single week, it looks like they're going to get over that hump. Man, they got Nevada this week, but it's a tough road for UNLV. I kind of feel bad, though. It does seem like they're very close.
One would think that they're going to get over the hump here real soon. A 7-point loss, a 4-point loss, a 7-point loss, an 8-point loss. I mean, that's in four consecutive weeks. So Marcus Arroyo is very, very close. Nevada might be a tough one, but they got New Mexico, Hawaii after that. So might be an opportunity to get that first victory for Marcus Arroyo here on the horizon.
Yeah, well, we shall see. Jesse, appreciate you as always, my friend, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
As always, appreciate it.
Thanks, man. All right, 48 minutes after the hour. Do we have what's on TV? Do we have what's on tonight? We're going to get to that on the other side. So don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Northern Colorado's Voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man, Brady Hall, and The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Back on the diamond tonight for Game 2 of the World Series between the Atlanta Braves and the Houston Astros. The Braves got off to a hot start last night and took Game 1 on the road. First pitch tonight at 6 on Fox.
Yeah, there you go, Angel.
Tonight, I'll be checking out the 2-1 Philadelphia Flyers taking on the 5-0 Edmonton Oilers. Puck drop is at 8 on TNT. On the hardwood tonight, I'll be checking out Damian Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers hosting Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. Morant is coming off a 40-point performance against the LA Lakers as the Blazers are 2.5-point home favorites. Tip-off is tonight at 8 on ESPN.
All right, that's what's on TV. Thank you very much, my friend. Well, really, the big one. I think, Angel, you were reaching after the Atlanta-Houston one, right? Because it was just outside NBA stuff. But, yeah, Atlanta-Houston tonight, 6:09 on Fox. Do the Astros even things up and put this thing out, tie it up at 1-1? I don't know. I feel like Houston's going to win this series, but based on last night, I mean, Atlanta, I mean, got a guy playing with a broken leg. Seems like fate might be on their side, but that's why we watch. 6:09 tonight. That's going to do it for us. Thanks to all of our guests today. Chris Dempsey. Sounds like Nikola Jokic maybe going to go Friday, which should be mean that he's going to be all right. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. It's almost basketball season. It is basketball season. You got an exhibition game tonight for Tad Boyle's crew. And to Jesse Kurtz breaking down the Mountain West Conference as he does every week. We'll get back at it on a Thursday. Good night, Northern Colorado.